بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We're starting the lecture now, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Last night we started with their first misconception. And their misconception, the first one which we dealt with, was that sufficient for us is the book of Allah. And that, alhamdulillah, was refuted. And now we go to the second misconception, and this is their saying that the Sunnah was never a revelation from Allah. Rather, it is only sayings attributed, people attribute these sayings to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam falsely. With no place whatsoever for revelation. And that the only revelation he received was nothing more than the Quran. Some of them went to the extent to say that even if we assume that these ahadith, these narrations, were authentic, then in no way it is mandatory for us to follow, because they are not a revelation from Allah. One of them even went to the extent also to say that the original thing which does not change nor is altered is the divine revelation only. And were we commanded, he added, to search for this revelation in the Torah or the Injil or Al-Bukhari and Muslim, At-Tirmidhi, Abi Dawood and Ibn Majah and other chains of narrators, and this is what you see also in some of the presentations here on the internet. The refutation, this is the misconception. Now to the refutation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, clarifying the reality of the status of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in proclaiming the deen, Allah said the following in Surah Al-Haqqah verse 46, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثم لقطعنا منه الوتين فما منكم من احد عنه حاجزين. In this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means. Let's go to the 45 before it. Yes, can we have the preceding verse? Yes, in 44, and if he Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want you to focus on the article if. Okay, and if he Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forged a false saying concerning us, Allah, we surely would have seized him by his right hand or with power and might, and then we certainly would have cut off his life artery, the aorta. And none of you could have withheld us from punishing him. And this if is the conditional impossible if. This if is the conditional impossible if, meaning this would never ever come from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Meaning he would only say what Allah informed him. And so for, could it be imagined after this clear verse that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would initiate any tahleel or tahreem, would initiate any forbiddance or allowability of things, or restrict or make details in the religion based upon his desire, not to mention that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was known as As-Sadiq al-Ameen, the trustworthy, the truthful one. So his actions, his sayings, his recommendations, his approvals are in agreement with the divine will, and there can be no way of him being informed and being connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding these legislations which he declared, in fact regarding the code of life which he detailed for the ummah, except through the correct understanding of the revelation. And thus the sunnah is a revelation because it is information from Allah related by the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions acted upon in that which he commanded them, which is or which was not present in the Quran, and Allah did not punish him for that. And you know these verses 69 now, 44 to 47. Would had that been something which he uttered on his own, and this is absolutely impossible, but for the sake of argument, then this threat is so severe. So here the companions act according to what he commands them, do and or restrain from, in that which is not mentioned in the Quran, and Allah didn't punish him for that, nor did Allah punish the companions for their compliance in that which the Quran didn't mention. So the fact that there was no punishment from Allah on the Prophet ﷺ or for the companions in this sense is an evidence that whatever came from the Prophet ﷺ from saying or action or approval which is related to the deen could not have taken place except through revelation from Allah. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy him and destroy his ummah. For them to comply with something which Allah did not condone. Add to the fact that had it not been for the compliance of the early ummah, the compliance to the sunnah, there would have been no success during the early stages of Islam, and Allah would not have praised His Prophet by saying in Surah An-Najm, verses 3 and 4, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. 53, 3 and 4. Nor does he speak his own desire, it is only an inspiration that is inspired. Al-Qurtubi said in his tafsir concerning this verse, فيها دلالة. This verse is evidence, is a proof. على أن السنة كالوحي المنزل من الله. That the sunnah is like the revelation being inspired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very possible that what made them fall into this misconception is their incorrect understanding of the reality of the revelation in relation to the sunnah, where they thought that the way of revelation regarding it is like that of the Quran. Oh, this is the one who said this was Al-Qurtubi, Sister of Ahmed. So they thought that the way of the revelation related to the sunnah is the same as that way of revelation related to the Quran. Like the descent of the angel upon him, then he memorizing it, kept in his chest, recorded, narrated consecutively, tawaturan. So the difference between the two types of revelation may have caused them to fall into this misconception. And there are really differences. From that is the Quran is ever miraculous in his wording, unlike the Sunnah. And from the difference is that the Quran is recited out of worship. Its recitation is a form of worship. And this is not the case with respect to the Sunnah. And it is not permissible to relate the Quran by meaning, but this is permissible with respect to the Sunnah. Similarly, from the differences is naming the statement in the Quran as a verse and the chapter as a surah, and this is not in the Sunnah. And from that is that the word of the Quran and its meaning is from Allah Azza wa Jal. These are distinctive differences between the revelation of the Quran and the inspiration regarding the Sunnah. That of the Sunnah comes in second rank after the Quran. Jibreel was not a mediator, alayhi salam, in every detail from the details of the Sunnah as it is in the case of the Quran. And that's why the wahi of the Sunnah, the revelation of the Sunnah, is more general in its reach to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when it's compared to the reaching of the revelation of the Quran. And that of the Sunnah used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wahi of the Sunnah, in several forms, from inspiration, throwing into his heart the dreams, and from behind a veil, or biwasitat malak al-wahi, or by way of the angel of revelation. And the Quran mentioned these various forms in Surah Ash-Shura 42:51. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا. It is not given to any human being that Allah would speak to him unless it be by inspiration, or from behind a veil, or that he sends a messenger to reveal what he wills by his leave. Verily he is most high, most wise. And the revelation of the sunnah did not exceed the understanding of this verse. This is the main points regarding the refutation of this misconcept. We shouldn't even forget, however, that the Prophet ﷺ said, "None of you reclines on his bed. The order comes to him on an affair which I am commanded to do or not to do. He says, 'I don't know. What is found in the book of Allah, we follow.'" And this is what these people are saying, aren't they? Subhanallah. Yani the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling about them, and this is a sign of his prophethood. And according to another report, he sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "What is found," referring to them, "what is found in the book of Allah as haram, as unlawful, we pronounce it haram, forbidden. Surely I am given the Quran and its example with it." And even in another report, the Prophet ﷺ said, "What the Messenger of Allah has forbidden, Allah has prohibited it." And therefore this hadith, as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah asserted, gives positive evidence that the divine law of Islam, meaning the Sharia, is not mere Quran, but Quran and Sunnah, and authentic Sunnah. And therefore whoever hold fast to one source for reference to the exclusion of the other, he held fast to none of them, since both complement each other. This is their second misconception. Their third misconception: these people, referred to as the deviant Quranites, they have another misconception in rejecting the Sunnah and in rejecting its validity in legislation. They say that following the Sunnah, as they claim, leads to committing shirk in judgment, in ruling. And we know, according to them, that the Quran prohibits this, where Allah says in Surah Al-An'am 6:57, "In al-hukm illa lillah." They base it on the misunderstanding of this verse. "In al-hukm illa lillah," the decision is only for Allah. He declares the truth and he is the best of judges. So some of their prominent leaders say incitement or inciting to follow the sayings and the actions and the approvals of the messengers with the presence of the Book of Allah is something known for a long time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed his messengers and prophets from these narrations. Rather, he made these narrations as kufr and shirk, meaning the narrations to follow the prophets and messengers. And one of them said, people had laid down several ways to revive shirk, according to him. So they said that we believe that Allah is the one that should be obeyed, yet Allah ordered us to follow the messengers. So this is an additional following to the original. Yet Allah didn't really command this, when we know that He said, "In al-hukm illa lillah," the decision is only for Allah. So to make it short, their misconception therefore says that the legislations or the rulings of the Prophet ﷺ and the decisions is a form of shirk with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah asserted in Surah Al-An'am that in al-hukmu illa lillah, the decision is only for Allah. The refutation, how daring these people are. Are the messengers sent, or were the messengers sent to revive shirk or to eliminate? And is the ruling by the sunnah, is it something other than the application of the rulings in the Quran? Listen to this verse in Surah An-Nisa, verse 65. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. You see there, they based their argument originally as in al-hukmu illa lillah, the decision is only for Allah. Now here Allah is making it clear that, but no, by your Lord they can have no true faith until they make you, O Muhammad, the judge in all disputes between them. Not only that, and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and accept them with full submission. Now by Allah I ask you, isn't this a very clear proof? So clear that we don't even have to even clarify anything regarding this matter. It is so indeed for the one who gives heed and ponders, and the one who doesn't follow his desires. But by your Lord they can have no true faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge in all disputes between them. Would Allah, I ask you, would Allah be in this case ordering shirk in judgment? I ask you, would Allah be ordering shirk in judgment? I'm asking you, could you please answer? Would Allah be ordering shirk in judgment when He says, فلا وربك لا يؤمنون. By Allah, by your Lord, they can have no true faith until they take you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make you judge in all disputes between them. So no one would really taste the true faith of Iman if he doesn't accept the decision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, in his acceptance or her acceptance, there should be no unease, no resistance, but full submission. So would this lead to shirk? Is this a form of shirk? We seek refuge in Allah from what they say. Then after his death, after the Prophet's death, then the decision is referred to his sunnah. Because referring to his sunnah is referring to him. Because this Quran is until the day of resurrection. And this is part of the command of Allah. Therefore, it is applicable when the Prophet ﷺ was alive and after he died, in the sense it refers to his way. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, عليكم بسنتي, hold to my sunnah, hold fast. And the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me, hold to them. And this understanding is repeated in many times in the Noble Quran. In fact, in some verses we hear the following. Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 51. إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون. The only saying of the faithful believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, we hear and we obey, and such are the prosperous ones who will live forever in paradise. So this is from the qualities of the believers. And compare this with the following verse in 24:47. ويقولون آمنا بالله وبالرسول وأطعنا ثم يتولى فريق منهم من بعد ذلك وما أولئك بالمؤمنين. The hypocrites compare now. They say, we have believed in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we obey. Then a party of them turn away thereafter. Such are not believers. And there is no way to know of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's decisions except through the Sunnah. And it cannot be comprehended at all that the Prophet's judgment between people could have been from a way other than the information of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. And therefore, the decision of the Sunnah returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could it be that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and his decisions and his rulings could be shirk in rulership with Allah in the decision? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr 59:7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And you know, nowadays they are saying that they are taking Bukhari for shirk. Don't you hear this? Now, and whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it and fear Allah. So this is their third shubha, crumbling by the will of Allah. So we stop here, and inshallah we'll deal with the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth misconception tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Suffice for tonight. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.